Scripture this morning is going to come out of the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 21, verse 11. Genesis chapter 21, verse 11. The backstory here is obviously you have Abraham and Sarah. Sarah is not able to have a child, so Sarah wants Abraham to go into one of his slave women and to Hagar. Hagar gets pregnant, she has Ishmael, and then all of a sudden God performs a miracle for Abraham and Sarah. Sarah becomes pregnant, obviously, with Isaac, and once Sarah has the promise of Isaac, she doesn't want Hagar hanging around anymore. So the Bible says that, just to, summarize everything, that Sarah tells Hagar, listen, get out of this place, get out of our home. It upsets Abraham very much, and that's where we're going to pick up at right here. Genesis chapter 21, verse 11. This upset Abraham very much because Ishmael was his son. Verse 12. But God told Abraham, do not be upset over the boy and your servant. Do whatever Sarah tells you, for Isaac is the son through whom your descendants will be counted. But I will also make a nation of the descendants of Hagar's son, because he is your son too. Verse 14, so Abraham got up early the next morning, prepared food and a container of water, and strapped them on Hagar's shoulder. Then he sent her away with their son, and she wandered aimlessly in the wilderness of Beersheba. Verse 15, when the water was gone, she put the boy in the shade of a bush. Then she went and sat down by herself about 100 yards away. Your Bible may say a arrow shot away. And she said, I don't want to watch the boy die, she said, as she burst into tears. Verse 17, but God heard the boy crying, and the angel of God called to Hagar from heaven, Hagar, what's wrong? Do not be afraid. God has heard the boy crying as he lies there. Verse 18, go to him and comfort him, for I will make a great nation from his descendants. Last verse, verse 19, then God opened Hagar's eyes, and she saw a well full of water. She quickly filled her water container and gave the boy a drink. Brothers and sisters, what I want to talk about this morning is that it's not our responsibility to make the promises of God come true. It's not yours, it's not my responsibility to make the word of God true. Does that mean that we don't have responsibilities? Sure, we have responsibilities when it comes to the kingdom of God. Sure, we have certain things that God calls us to do. And yes, the Bible says obedience is better than sacrifice. But this morning, I want to take a lot of pressure off of us to think that if God has promised us something or God has told us something, that it's our responsibility to make sure it comes true. I know times in my life God has promised me something or gave me a word through a man or a woman of God, or he spoke something to me, and I felt a pressure to make it happen because I didn't want God to be a liar. I felt like I need to defend the honor of God, so to speak. I felt like I was the one that was going to have to make it happen. I felt like I was the one that was going to have to make, the ends meet together. I was the one that had the responsibility to make this great promise of God come true. And this morning, brothers and sisters, when I finally realized I don't have that kind of power, I don't have that kind of authority, I'm not God. So when I realized those things, and I know it's a simple statement, but it took a lot of pressure off of my life. It took a lot of making me feel guilty or making me feel like I'm not good enough if certain things didn't happen in a certain order. And I know a lot of us this morning, God's promised to help us or to bless us or to heal us or whatever it may be. And the only thing that we have to do is stay in a relationship with him. The only thing that we have to do is believe that he is exactly who he says he is. And he is a faithful father to do everything that he promises. I know a lot of times when Joshua and Isabel asked me to do something, or they asked me to take care of something, Once they ask me to do it, they sometimes even a lot of times they'll forget about it. And they'll get whatever they ask me for, or I'll do whatever they ask me to do. And they're like, I'm like, don't you remember asking me? And it's funny to watch them sometimes because they'll look up at me and they'll be like, oh yeah, Dad, I forgot. Or, oh yeah, Dad, I asked for that. Because these kids understand the relationship that they have with me, that as long as it's something within reason, of course, as long as it's something that I know won't hurt them and it's good for them and then it can help them, or, you know, it's something they desire that I'm able to get or help them get or whatever it may be, as long as I'm able to do that for them, me being a father wanting to help my kids, I'll make it happen every time I can. They ask and then they forget. They ask and they believe. They ask and they feel absolutely no responsibility to make it happen. And the scripture this morning, when Hagar has been kicked out of the presence of Abraham and Sarah, and the Bible says that Abraham gives her some water, gives her some food, and she walks aimlessly in this land of Beersheba. She's about to die because she takes the kid away. And I've read the story, no doubt, hundreds, if not thousands of times, and I thought God heard the cry of Hagar. But the Bible says in verse 17, but God heard the boy crying, and the angel of God called to Hagar from heaven. The Bible says in verse 17 again, but God heard the boy crying. It wasn't Hagar calling out. It wasn't Hagar's distress. It was the boy crying that God answered. And I began to talk to the Lord about it. And I'm like, God, why didn't you hear Hagar's cry? And I'm not telling you he didn't hear Hagar's cry, but it was the boy's crying. It was the boy in distress. It was the boy in a situation he was about to die that made God move. Why did God move when he heard the cry of Ishmael? Why did God move when he heard this child under a bush that was about to give up his life? Why did God move? I believe, brothers and sisters, this morning, the reason God heard the boy crying is because the boy was a boy of promise. We always talk about Isaac getting the descendants and Abraham getting the descendants and Jacob getting the descendants. And no doubt that's the lineage that God chose to do something through. Do great things through and gave great promises to. But don't miss the promise that was on the slave child. Don't miss the promise that was on Ishmael. Ishmael could not die in that wilderness. It wasn't something that could even happen because God had already spoken a word over him and said, listen, I'm going to bless his descendants too. He told Abraham, listen, Abraham, the reason this boy is going to be blessed is because of you, because he's your offspring. Brothers and sisters, this morning I have good news. The reason you are going to be blessed, the reason your family's going to be blessed, the reason I'm going to be an overcomer, the reason I'm going to be forgiven is because of my Father Jesus, because of my Savior Jesus, because I have the lineage of Jesus Christ, because I have the promises of the Savior of the world. That's good news this morning, because I know a lot of us are in situations that we feel like giving up. We feel like the promise hasn't happened. We feel like we can't make certain things manifest. We feel like we're frustrated. We feel responsible, and we feel like we're doing everything, but there's trouble on every side. But I have good news this morning. The child was about to literally die, and the Bible says that God heard his cry. God heard the promise. How much more do you not think God hears us when he looks at us through the blood of his son, Jesus Christ? The Bible says that God opened up the eyes of Sarah and she saw a well and was able to get water from it. I don't believe, brothers and sisters, that it was a miracle that God put that well there. I believe the well was right there the whole time. But I believe that because of Hagar's distress, because of her frustration, let me put it in modern day terms, because Hagar was so busy looking at things that she didn't have, she almost missed the blessing of God. This morning, brothers and sisters, I don't know about you, but I know that I'll get so busy at times that I almost miss the blessings of God. I'll get a text message at 10 o'clock in the morning and not reply to it till 9 o'clock at night because I'm so busy. That's absolutely ridiculous for me. I'll speak for me. I'm not that busy not to reply. Sometimes I forget, sure, but a lot of times I'm just trying to do this, to do this, to do this, and I get so busy that I miss some of the awesome things that God has before me. This morning, I believe that when God opened Sarah's eyes, that she saw that well that was no doubt close by. It had to be close by because I don't believe she had enough energy or strength to go very far. And this morning, I want to prophesy to you and I want to give you good news that I believe help is very close to you. The Bible says that Jesus, that God sticks closer than a brother. The Bible says that you and I are more than overcomers in Christ Jesus. The Bible says that we are blessed first and not the last, that we are above and not beneath, that we are the head and not the tail. We are descendants of Jesus Christ. We have the promises of God on our life, but we have to be willing to look around. And the only way for you and I to look around this morning is to slow down. Slow down and look what God has done. Slow down and look at what God has provided. Slow down and look at the people God has placed in our lives. And I believe that God's hearing our cries. And I believe that God is there to answer our requests and our petitions to Him. But more than anything, I believe He's wanting to do those things. We don't serve a God that's a genie in a bottle. We don't serve a God that we have to beg and beg and beg and beg because He doesn't want to help us. He is a good, good Father. I believe one of the greatest lies the enemy will ever try to tell you and I is that God doesn't want to help us. I believe that God wants to help us and he's there and He's calling out to us, but sometimes we have to look around. If we're not willing to take the time to see what the Lord has provided, to see what God has put in our path, then sometimes we'll miss it. But this morning, brothers and sisters, I have good news. If God was willing to hear a child crying in the wilderness, how much more is God willing to hear you and I? Because He looks at us through the perfect sacrifice of His Son, Jesus Christ. And I know that boy in the wilderness got God's attention, but I promise you, the blood of the spotless Lamb of God gets the Father's attention every single time. So this morning I can pray for Daryl and I'll continue to pray for Daryl and I'll believe that God is going to perform a miracle in his life. Not because of my goodness or Alex's or Jim's or anybody else's, but because of who we are in Christ Jesus. It's good news this morning that God opened the eyes of Sarah. Because I pray that God will open our eyes and let us see that we don't have to be so busy all the time. I know sometimes in my life when I get so busy that I miss some of the greatest things that happen in the day. I know a lot of times it's not until I'm absolutely at my wit's end that God decides to show up. And I believe God would have showed up way before that if I would have been willing to sit still and talk to God. I don't believe we have to wait till we've exhausted every avenue and gave up on everything else for God to intervene. When we were in Florida this past week, last day we were there, we were going to the beach and everything. And when we got out of the car, we were parking at this restaurant thing or whatever. Alex saw that in her car, there was something massive in the back right tire. And that's always been like one of my things. Like, I don't ever want anything to happen to tires or a car or whatever. Because I am, mechanically challenged, for lack of better words. I have no idea about how cars work and those kind of things. So when Alex saw something in her tire and I say something, something as big as a small child. No, it was big, like real big. And I knew how bad it was going to be. So long story short, I get to go to this tire place and everything's almost closed. And I show up and I start talking to the guy and I'll just be honest with you. I offered him pretty much my firstborn child to change this tire or give me a new tire, whatever. And I was like, listen, I'll pay you cash. I'll do this. I'll do this. And nothing was working. Absolutely nothing was working. And I was frustrated because we were supposed to leave around 6 the next morning. And he wouldn't go open till 8, and there was nobody that would help me. I called this other person, and I was at my wit's end, man. I really was. And I was frustrated. I was angry because I feel like at my job, I help people in situations, maybe not like this, but like this, if you know what I mean. I try to go out of my way to help people. So I'm frustrated, and I'm telling you, at my wit's end, definitely. So I call Alex, and Joshua picks up, and he says hello. And before I can tell Joshua or Alex how bad the situation is, a person came up from behind me and said, "Sir." And long story short, this person offered to change the tire and to do these things for me. And they did it in less than, I don't know, 15, 20 minutes and did an amazing job. And it all worked out. And as I was leaving and I was going back to my family, I was ashamed that I got so frustrated. I was frustrated that I was frustrated, if you know what I mean. And I sat there and I was like, "God, why couldn't you have just come in and saved the day at the beginning? God, why couldn't you have just, right when I pulled up, had somebody come out like they do in NASCAR and jack it up and knock it out in, you know, 30 seconds and I'd have been on my way? What a miracle. What a manifestation of your grace and your power and your mercy." But as I drove back and I went through these different emotions and I was talking to God and I felt ashamed and I was asking God, why didn't you do it this way? And God so gently has revealed to me is because the reason I believe he didn't do it the way I wanted it done is because it would not have revealed something in me. It wouldn't have shown me that, "Alan, you don't have to get so frustrated. Alan, you don't have to get so scared. Alan, you don't have to worry. Alan, you don't have to try to make it happen all the time. Alan, in other words, take the pressure off. Take all the responsibility off all the time and relax in my goodness, relax in my provision." And whether or not God would have sent somebody to change that tire or the next day that I would have had to be late, God showed me that it would have worked out either way. It would have worked out whether I had to wait an hour or two to leave, and God could have made up the time and God could have did anything, because the same God that heard that little boy, Ishmael, crying in the wilderness is the same God that we serve today. And I want to encourage you this morning. I want you to know that God is there listening. God is there wanting to help us. He's good. He's amazing and he's wonderful. He is exactly who he says he is. And I believe this morning, sometimes God wants us to see, God wants us to understand that he hears us right where we are. And it's the blood of Jesus that pulls on his heart. It's the blood of Jesus that gives us access to the Father. And if things aren't happening the way that we think they should, that's okay. Be like Ishmael, be like a child and just cry out to the Father, because he hears the children that he placed promises on. And you and I have a promise on us. You and I have the blood of Jesus that redeems us and restores us every single morning, because the Bible says that the mercies of God are renewed daily. The Bible says that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. The Bible promises us these things. He wants to make exchanges with us. He wants to take our sadness and give us joy. He wants to take our garments of heaviness and give us praise. But we have to be willing to exchange. We have to be willing to sit still and cry. We have to be willing to acknowledge him as good. Yesterday, Alex and me celebrated our 14th anniversary. And man, and I know everybody's thinking, "How do you do it, Alan? It's tough." You know, I work hard staying married to her. In all seriousness, 14 years, and man, it's flown. When I was thinking about it yesterday, it blew my mind that it's already been 14 years. Almost 10 years ago, Joshua was born. 7.5 years ago, Isabel was born, and man, it's flying. And sometimes if I'm not careful, things just, you know, a month will pass by and I'm like, Lord, where did that go? And one of my favorite things to do is go back and look at old pictures on our phones or old videos when the kids would do stuff or before certain things happened. And I look back and it forces me to see the goodness of God. It forces me to be like Ishmael in the desert crying out. It forces me to be in a situation where I have to acknowledge that it was God who was on our side. It was God who was on our side then, and it's God who's on our side now. Because the financial things God has done for us are amazing. Praise the Lord. And I appreciate the Lord. But it's more than that. It's those times when you're out of town and you have a flat tire and nobody wants to help you and God sends somebody your way. Whether that person's real or that person's an angel, I have no idea, and I'm okay either way because I know that it was God who touched them. It's those times that when you see wrecks happen right in front of you or all sorts of hell breaking loose, it's those times that you know God kept you. It's those times that you realize God is the one right there encouraging you. So this morning in closing, brothers and sisters, I completely understand what it's like to be in a desert crying out. But I also completely understand what it's like when God comes in as a good, good father to rescue us and to help us and to strengthen us. But this morning, if you take nothing else away, I believe the Father is telling us to slow down. To slow down and see His goodness, to slow down and look around because God has provided exactly what we need all around us. If Sarah didn't take the time to look around, she would have never saw the very thing that rescued her and her son. Could God have done it another way? Absolutely. But if Abraham wouldn't have looked around and saw the ram in the bush, then Isaac would have had to have been the sacrifice. You see, this morning, brothers and sisters, God will always provide a way of escape. God will always provide a way out of no way because that's who He is. He is a good, good Father. Some of us are too busy. I heard busy meant being under Satan's yoke. And I could definitely agree with that because when I'm busy, I don't have time to look around. When I'm too busy, I don't have time to appreciate. And more than anything, when I'm super, super busy, I don't have time to tell God thank you. I thank God this morning that the promise is unto you and unto your children's children, as many as the Lord God will call. There's greatness in you, brothers and sisters. There's awesomeness. There's miracles in your way. There's miracles around you, but we have to be willing to let God reveal them. We have to be like Sarah and ask God to open our eyes so that we can see the well of water, that living water that will never thirst again, and it's only from the Savior. Let's pray. I honor you, Father God. And Lord God, I know I've told you thank you before, but I thank you for that person that changed our tire or fixed our tire. I thank you for that person because God, I know that you touched their heart. And God, I know what my brothers and sisters have so many testimonies of your goodness, so many testimonies of you performing a miracle and making a way out of no way. And this morning we say thank you. And God, I lift up Brother Daryl again to you, Lord, and I speak healing to his body, Lord. I command his body in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to line up to the will of the Father. I thank you this morning, God, that you're loosing angels all around him. I give your angels charge around him, charge over his family, charge over his friends and the doctors, Lord. I pray that the nurses treat him extra good. God, I pray that you will perform miracles in his life. And I thank you for the testimonies to come. So this morning, Lord, we slow down and we look around. We slow down and we look around to the miracles you provide. We thank you for our paychecks. We thank you for our sustenance. We thank you for our families and our friends and God, yes, even our enemies. Because, Lord, you're revealing to us what we need to change. You're revealing to us what we can do differently. And in spite of all our shortcomings, you're still there to love us and you're still there to bless us. This morning we yield to you and we acknowledge you as a good, good Father. And by faith we pray these things. By faith we believe these things that are done on earth as they already are in the heavens. And we pray these things in your Son Jesus' name. Amen.